Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. Now, we're starting every show with a recap of the county's EPG meetings of the week, and it sounds like there was quite a bit going down on Monday and Thursday. Bree, what's the word from that?
Yeah, like you said, the EPG, that is the Emergency Policy Group, they meet every Monday and they meet every Thursday. And they discuss updates. They discuss what's going on in the county. They discuss what's going on in the state, in the nation. They talk about what steps they need to take next. Where can they improve? What new information is out there? And what is great about the meeting virtually is technically anyone can attend the meeting. So if you are the type of person that likes to have the most accurate information, if you want to know what's going on and you want to kind of listen to your elected officials and walk the path they're walking and figure out how they're getting to the decisions they are, go to the county's Facebook page, go to their YouTube page, and listen to the prior meetings. So the Thursday meeting, Dr. Douglas Holt, who is the director of the Florida Department of Health for Hillsborough County, he kind of kicked off Thursday's meeting. And he said, in his opinion, COVID-19 was more contagious than anyone thought. However, he is optimistic that we may peak early. And signs are indicating that may be the case, but he compared them to a hurricane spaghetti model. You guys know those. We're all Floridians here. You see dozens of ways the hurricane can go, and you hope for the one that's least damaging. Up until the last minute, all of the signs can show that we're going to get the least damaging path. And then at the last second, something could change and the hurricane can move. It's the same with this. We just don't have enough data to say 100%. However, signs are looking like we may be peaking soon. So Dr. Holt is optimistic, but cautiously so. The CDC is also recommending universal masking. So the country, the state, the EPG, they're not enforcing this, but everyone is highly stressing it. And here's why masking in public is important. Dr. Holt said in that meeting that 25% of people infected feel well with no or minimal symptoms, but it can spread. Wearing a mask is a public service. You're protecting others when you put one on, so put one on. You're not putting a mask on and going out in public because you're scared other people are going to get you sick. That's not really what they're made for. These are made so that if you are asymptomatic and you don't know you're sick, you don't go to a public place and infect everyone that you're in contact with. So put one on. And if you are not feeling well, whether you're convinced that it's allergies or convinced that it's a cold, stay home. Be cautious. Do not put other people at risk just because you need something. Hopefully there are other means for you to get whatever the supplies are that you require without you having to leave. So the latest count for the county, as of Thursday, we had 645 positive cases in Hillsborough County. 10% of those were people 65 years old and older. 10% were the ages of 55 to 64, and we have had 9 deaths as of Thursday. We have about 4,000 testing kits left at the Raymond James, the drive-through testing site. Hopefully that'll last us another few weeks. We have the PPEs that we require to finish that testing. And if more are required, hopefully they'll come later on down the road. They are also installing tents at the site in anticipation of bad weather. There were 359 appointments scheduled for today. So that kind of does it indicates that people are taking it seriously, that they're going, that they're being tested. So if you feel sick, the call center is open Monday to Friday from 8 to 5. You can call 813-272-5900 to see if you qualify for an appointment. A medical professional will be on the other end of the line, and they'll walk you through your symptoms and determine if you share enough similar symptoms of COVID to justify you coming out to be tested. And if you do, you'll get an appointment right then and there. All right, so I'm going to switch over to some updates for Plant City. So recently, the most recent news, Recycling is stopping until this is over, at least here in the city. So the city announced Thursday it was going to suspend its program, its recycling program, to reduce the risk of exposure to its employees. And it asked for those of you who take out the trash to just make sure you're doing it as safely as you can. Tie it well. Don't make these guys have to pick up a lot of your stuff if they can just dump the bags and move on. Also, we have a commission meeting on Monday night. It's at 7:30 p.m. and for the very first time in Plant City history, it will be held virtually. So there's going to be a link on the city's website that walks you through all the steps you're going to need to know. But you can also tune in to the city's social media pages to get more information if you want. The city is using a technology called GoToWebinar to broadcast its meetings. If you want to phone in, say you don't have a computer or a tablet or whatever, you can. There's a phone number and a PIN on the city's website that you can use to become an audience member for the meeting. If you have a screen, I do recommend you use that, though, because there's going to be some presentations during the meeting, and it's much more helpful, I personally think, to be able to look at the presentation as they're talking about it rather than just going solely audio. So if you have the opportunity, pick up the paper this week. We have a whole article on how to join. And of course, if you want to submit public comment for the meeting, you can. That is also on the city's website. You just have to do it by 3 p.m. for it to be given to all the commissioners and everyone before the meeting started. And I think you can still submit up until the meeting at 7:30 and they'll just add it into the record, but it won't be in the hands of everyone before they go to the meeting. On April 6th, the city also announced that no city utility service will be disconnected for non-payment through April 16th. So that's a quick update there. I want to jump over to a conversation that we were able to have here at the Observer with Mayor Rick Lott this week. A lot of you over the past few weeks, when we've asked about your thoughts of COVID-19, the one thing you said is you wanted to hear from your city. You wanted to hear from the leaders. So we sat down with Mayor Rick Lott and we talked to him about everything under the sun, from his daily routine to how he's staying informed on the latest data and how he stays up to date when policies change so quickly, to the 6 confirmed cases that we had in Plant City at the time of the interview. I'm not going to go in depth with every single thing we talked about. Pick up the paper or go online to plantcityobserver.com to read the full article. But here are some of the highlights. So one thing that was really interesting about our mayor, and it made me really proud to live in Plant City, was on Monday's EPG meeting, Lott was the very first person, as far as I can remember, that brought up mental health in the community. He was concerned about it. He wanted more data, and he listened to some of the comments that they had, the information they had on hand then, but we're hoping to hear more soon. And when I brought it up to him again, I asked him to elaborate on that a little bit, and I want to read his comment to you. He said, "There has to be a balance in all of our lives, and people are really struggling right now to find that. Social distancing equals isolation, and I'm really hoping people are practicing social distancing skills, but aren't so isolated that their mental health suffers. I know we have seen a major spike in Baker Acts. That concerns me greatly. I don't want anyone in our community to suffer because they are practicing safe isolation. So I've asked the EPG for more information regarding that data." We also sat down and talked to him about the one thing that was brought up by a few of you guys. You wanted someone with the city to talk about the confirmed cases here. So we did. We asked him about it, and we wanted to know what his response was as our mayor. And here's kind of a synopsis of what he said. Here's a direct quote first. He said, "Whether those cases are from people in the city limits or from the unincorporated areas, they are still our community," end quote. He then added that he thinks the city of Plant City is acting as an example to local businesses. If you can work from home, work from home. That's something that the city implemented a few weeks ago. But there are services, there are jobs that have to be done, whether it's, like we mentioned before, the trash getting picked up or keeping the water on or our police or our fire. And it's the same with businesses here. Some businesses cannot close. So he said that if you have to work, just work as safely as you can, abide by the guidelines, do your job, and then go home and isolate as much as you possibly can. He also said that the city is working closely with the county health department because the patients in question, they're under the health department's control from the time they're exposed to recovery. That said, he did add, and this is a direct quote again, "The fact is the city is not medical, but what we can do is make sure we provide all the resources they need for them to be able to do their jobs and for us to be able to do our jobs for our citizens," end quote. And we wanted to leave you with a direct message from Mayor Rick Lott to the citizens here in Plant City. So here's what he had to say.
"I want to thank them for being a caring community, and the love and respect for one another is under such stressful times, you know, is very evident to, I think, most people in our community. And I just want to thank them. And on behalf of the commission, I want to thank them. I totally understand the pain and agony that, and the stress that we have in our families from the loss of jobs, loss of incomes, you know, our students dealing with our schools from those seniors. I have a senior graduating this year, and this last Saturday night was supposed to be prom night. Okay, but from the students that I see and I visit with that come here, and they're doing a great job, and the teachers are doing a wonderful job with virtual classrooms right now. I think our schools are doing everything they can. I think the school breakfast and lunch program right now is a great example of great leadership in our county. I mean, you have to admire that. You know, our medical community, you have to admire how they're prepping for the worst to come, and how they're taking additional floors in the hospital and converting them to isolation rooms, you know, so that they're prepared for the worst. And the training they're doing with those, our medical professionals, like you said earlier, this is something we've never seen before. And every day we're learning, but everyone sure are making Herculean efforts to get ahead of this. I've been inspired by our business community, because a lot of the pain and agony I hear are in business owners, and they're talking about having to furlough employees, lay off employees, and none of them want to do that, especially because they wouldn't have to do it if it wasn't for this pandemic. Business was on the rise. So I think our nonprofits and faith-based communities are responding to feed those that are hungry and meet the needs. I think the best of us come out in worst of times. I think our community is at its best in the worst of times.
Okay, we're going to move on now to our talk of the town. We went on Facebook earlier this week and asked y'all how COVID-19 has affected your careers, whether you're a business owner, an employee of a business, self-employed, whatever. We wanted to know what your experiences were like with the pandemic and how it's affected you, since there are like millions upon millions of unemployment claims around the country right now, more than I think ever. So it's definitely affected people here. We wanted to hear your stories, and you did not disappoint. And also, I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anybody's name. So we'll start with Veronica Prosco, who said, "Grateful to be a teacher and to be able to continue my profession and outreach from home. Students and families still need our guiding light, and we are happy to be there for them. I know a lot of parents out there are also very happy that the teachers are still there in some capacity, because a lot of the ones I've talked to who are trying to give their kids more of a homeschool environment, take over some learning duties themselves, or teaching duties, I should say. Ugh, I haven't been in school in a while. Well, it's driving them a little bit crazy. So the more involved our teachers can get in our students' lives, I think the better off we're all going to be for it." Brandon Johnson, in probably the toughest comment of anything we got, he said, "I've had to lay off nearly 40 of my staff, and I am likely going to be furloughed myself. That is just, this is exactly why we need to make sure that mental health is a priority during this thing, because stuff like that, plus, you know, the self-isolation, that creates a whole lot of stress right now. And so anything we can do at this time to find little distractions or ways to get ourselves thinking positively, whatever, we're going to need it more than ever, because this is a situation we're totally unfamiliar with, and this might be, for all we know, one of the darkest times in American history. But it's important to know also that it's going to pass at some point, we'll get through it, and then if things don't go back to the way they were or normal or whatever, we'll find a new normal. But that was a tough one to read for sure. Amanda Pierce said, massage therapist, over 25 years, closed due to state-mandated order on COVID-19. Having to answer calls from clients / patients only to tell them I'm currently not working, not considered an essential business. John Parker said, destroyed my business 100%. Now I deliver groceries for Shipt. I'm having a good time helping people and making money, though, so I'm good. So every cloud is a silver lining, right? Or most of them do, anyway. And last one, Jessica LeMeyer said, thankful for my nursing career in times like these. Store hours do make it difficult to shop. And yeah, that's a problem. A week or two ago, whenever we first reported on Hillsborough County Public Schools Grab and Go program, one of the comments we got on Facebook was from a single mother who worked during the day and wasn't able to pick up food at night because they're only going from, as many of you know, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. That didn't really work with her hours, so she was a bit concerned about that. I haven't heard anything from HCPS since then about whether they're going to change the hours on that to make it possible to get kids their meal bags at different times of the day for parents in that situation. But I was told by one of the spokespeople that they would be looking into it. So I know they're going to keep doing that through the end of school, whenever that may be now, because they were closed through April 15th, but then they changed that. So
one thing I can
whatever
add,
it is, I hope
I
that
can add to that a little bit is Melissa Snively. She's a representative of the school board. Today in the EPG meeting, she said that they're actually about to roll out a new version of the program where families can pick up an entire week's worth of food at once, so they don't have to worry about coming every single day because of issues like this and issues like transportation. So I don't know for sure when that's going to be rolled out, but soon.
Oh, cool. Did they say anything about pickup hours, though?
I don't remember hours being discussed. That didn't mean they didn't. I need to go back and look at my notes and at the video, but that doesn't come to mind off the top of my head.
Gotcha. So, yeah, not to totally get away from Jessica's comment or anything, since she was talking about store hours, and I just had the inspo to talk about a comment I got on Facebook 2 weeks ago, but there is definitely... It's definitely hard out there with more stores closing early, changing their hours, which I get because, you know, you've got less foot traffic coming in. It makes it difficult to keep things open. So you got to be out there not only doing what's to the best of your ability, but also what's best for your business. Hopefully as more online delivery options expand with this thing, we'll be able to get around problems like Jessica's, where people are working weird hours and essential jobs and they don't always have the time to go and get the things they need because the stores are closed. So they have to order off of Amazon or whatever and wait for it to come in the mail. So hopefully it's something that gets addressed in the near future. Okay, we're going to switch things up again, moving on to the introvert's guide to self-isolation, because Bree and I are both introverts. We've been doing some stuff in our homes to keep from getting bored to death, and we'd like to share some of it with you, too. So the first thing I wanted to talk about, Bree, I know you finally finished Tiger King. It's been a long time coming. What do you think?
You were correct when you said that no matter how wild I thought it would be more so. And I still... and reeling over some. I think every character in that show could have a spinoff show just analyzing their own psyche, because that was absurd.
I've heard a lot of people compare it to Game of Thrones, but for rednecks.
Okay, yeah, that does check out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I never watched Game of Thrones myself. I never got on that wagon. And frankly, after hearing what everybody said about the last season, I'm glad I didn't waste my time. But yeah, that is a very popular meme I've seen everywhere. Redneck Game of Thrones. I'm sure there's some truth to it. And also, there is supposed to be a new episode coming. You know, by the time this podcast airs, maybe it's already on Netflix, maybe not. But the thing going around social media was that it was supposed to come sometime this week. That came from Jeff Lowe. And if you watch the show, you know that, or you should know that Jeff Lowe is probably not somebody to be trusted. I mean, I don't know how you could trust a whole lot of people on that show, but, you know, number one right there. So hopefully the next episode, if it's real, is on right now. This information has aged terribly, and I will probably be taking a break to watch it at some point, or I'll just do it later in the day so that my bosses don't get me in trouble whenever they listen to this. But I am super excited for that to come up, if it comes up. Okay. Have you ever, like, done yoga?
Yeah, they did that a lot in college, so we all did it. I even did it once out on the Hillsborough River. There was this lady that was teaching courses of yoga on a paddleboard. That was interesting. People fell off a lot, so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I have a yoga mat here, and I do it sometimes.
Paddleboard yoga was their first experience?
It was my second. I did not do well.
Oh. No, their first experience.
Oh, I don't know how talented they were, but they did not do well either. I stayed on the board.
I was going to say, that seems...
Thankfully, but they did not.
That seems kind of like throwing you to the wolves. Just having your first thing like, oh yeah, we're going to do paddleboard yoga. Beginners are welcome. That, no. But anyway, I say all this to say that for a little while now, and by a little while, I mean at least a year, I've been thinking about trying it. I once told that to somebody I was seeing that I met off of Hinge last year, and I don't think she took me seriously, but I am. And now that I have way more time on my hands, I think I'm going to try it. A friend of mine who lives in Pittsburgh told me that she recently started doing something called, it's a series called Yoga for Inflexible People, or as she put it, yoga for people who sit all day and can't move their body otherwise. It sounds like the easiest thing possible as far as yoga goes, but I was thinking about trying it because I have literally nothing else to do these days. And just, you know, I've been doing the home workout thing, so I have a pretty good thing going there. I'm about 3 weeks into that program. It's a month long deal, and then next week would be the last one. I don't know if I'll continue then, find a new program, but I'm just looking to do as many new things as possible. So if you have any recommendations besides yoga for inflexible people, for people like myself who are inflexible, totally new to this, whatever, I'm open to it. I'd like to learn. I just don't want anybody to be like super pretentious about it. I don't own a yoga mat. I'll probably be doing this on a towel, and I'm sure I'm gonna slip and fall and regret it, but I'm gonna try. I am determined to try. One other thing I might check out. It's really interesting to see how people are getting around the whole lack of live music thing. I talked a little bit about this last week. Mentioned Casey Stidham's Sunday shows, which, by the way, are still going on. Check it out. And of all the things I've seen, this is probably the quirkiest. Did you ever play Minecraft?
No, I was never on board that train, if you will.
Okay, I used to play a while ago, but Minecraft on Saturday night is going to have a music festival in the game with actual real-life bands. I don't know if they're playing live or they pre-recorded stuff, whatever, but I don't know why you picked Minecraft of all things. I have no idea, but it was really quirky. I don't know any of the bands except the headliner, American Football, which is an emo band I used to listen to in college and probably will end up getting more into. But apparently you go into Minecraft and you go into the Nether, which is like the dark underworld thing you can only access by portal. And then somewhere in the Nether, there's a music festival going on. So all these other people who are logged onto the server are going to be there. And they're going to watch a bunch of, I'm assuming they're all emo bands, playing music on some kind of stage that somebody built out of the little pixelated blocks or whatever. It's called Netherment, which is a play on it's an American Football reference, which I thought was funny. I'm probably going to end up checking it out. And if you, too, are an overgrown emo kid, you can check it out as well by going to elsewither.club. If you don't have Minecraft, it's going to be streaming on Twitch. I do have Minecraft for Xbox in the ready-to-reinstall-again thing. I don't know if it's going to work on Xbox, but if not, I guess I'll just go on the internet and watch it on Twitch. But I thought that was kind of neat. Like, how do you think they made the decision to go on to Minecraft of all things?
I don't know, because I've heard, was it Fortnite they did that in? There was another video game where they did a concert like that, but Minecraft, that is a look for sure. Let me know how that
goes. It seemed
goes.
Weird at first. It seemed weird at first that they would pick Minecraft, but the more I think about it, it's like, well, you know, you can build little like lights and stuff with it and electrical switches, so maybe they have like a full stage show set up, and it's pretty cool. Fortnite's not really my jam at all. I never got into it, but I guess you could build a makeshift stage and then get your songs done before the circle closes and all that. But whatever. It's kind of ingenious, and I hope to see more, whether it's music festivals or bands, artists, whatever, taking these strange mediums that we would never think of otherwise and doing something unique with it, because otherwise, you know, just the same boring stuff all the time gets kind of old hat. And when you're sitting alone in isolation, you're consuming way more media than ever before because you have literally nothing else to do. We need as much stimulation as we can get. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. What about you? What do you got for the Introvert's Guide this week?
I have two things. One is something that we wrote about this week in our paper. There is a group called Periphery Media, and one of the two founders is from Plant City. His name is Clay Hollenkamp, and they are hosting a social distancing virtual art exhibition. So today is the last day if you're an artist, you can submit art to the show, but then on April the 13th, I think, is when it kicks off, and you can go on your laptop or your phone or whatever and go to PeripheryMediaOnline.com and go to the gallery, and you can look at all of the art on there. So it's got two different purposes. One, you're bored, you're at home, you're staring at your blank walls, you realize you're an adult and you should have art up there, and it's time, and the poster your mom bought you from IKEA just isn't cutting it anymore, so you can scroll through the gallery, and if you see something you like, A, it's made by a local artist, which makes it super cool. You can buy it right then and there. Everything on there is for sale if the artist wants it to be. So you can buy that art and it'll be hanging on your blank wall now. And then that also allows the artist who, you know, that we're all struggling right now. So that allows them to have a chance to get extra income. So I love the idea. I love that they decided to do that. So check it out. They have a Facebook page as well, which I think will have a link to the gallery. So yeah, it goes live on Monday, if I remember correctly. So that's something I'm really excited about. I'm definitely going to check it out. And then another thing, you know, we've been talking a lot about mental health this week, thanks to Mayor Lott. And one of the ways I've been working to make sure I'm keeping a positive outlook, because you and I are submerged in news. We do nothing but track the news and report the news and find news, and that gets really heavy. So
yeah it does.
Yeah, especially right now. So I've been plugging into this Instagram account called The Well Kit. It's run by Katie French. She's a Tampa Life coach and a really good friend of mine. We went to college together, and the girl's a genius. She's got a master's in public health education, and recently she's kind of shifted the focus of her business's social media to help people's mental health while they're in isolation. So she's posting all the time about things to do at home, whether it's productivity advice or more fun ideas to keep things fresh and new and making the most of this really bizarre time. And what I love about Katie is she has evidence-based routines and suggestions, and she's really interactive with her followers. So you're getting input from people all over Tampa Bay. And it's been really cool to see a steady stream of positivity. And the thing I love the most about her is Katie knows what she's talking about. She has a master's in this. She studies this. These aren't just random suggestions she's pulled off the internet, which I am seeing suggestions all over social media sometimes that make me literally cringe. And I'm like,
Facebook.
That's not a good idea. Yeah. Oh, I mean, man. Katie knows how the mind works, and she knows what you need to do to help exercise it and keep yourself afloat despite the stress and the worries and the fears that we're all facing right now. So if you're wanting some super positive and creative advice, pop over to the Well Kit Instagram, give it a look. She posts on her story all the time, and it's just been something I've really enjoyed. And while I used to check in every once in a while, I've noticed over the past probably about 2 weeks, I've been on it every single day, just looking and taking her advice and doing a lot of the things she's recommended, and it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, that's kind of what I recommend. Also, plug, Killing Eve comes back Sunday, 9 p.m., BBC America. It is, if you have not seen it, one of the greatest shows being made currently. Phoebe Waller-Bridge wrote the first season, and we're on season 3. Sandra Oh, Jodie Comer, assassin / British secret agent, kind of. I have no words. You have to watch it. You have to catch up as quickly as you can, because season 3 comes out. And I mean, first season, you think someone's dead. Then the second season, you think someone else is dead. And then this season, neither of those two people are dead. And it is going to be very intense, and I cannot wait. So that is going to be what my weekend looks like. Also, the new episode of Westworld, same night. So Sunday is the day for TV.
This sounds kind of like professional wrestling in a way. Just when you think somebody's retired and they're gone for good, they come back like 3 years later because they're broke, they need a little bit of cash, or they just got bored. It's inevitable.
Yeah, except this is every season the person you thought was dead came back. But we've only had that happen twice. Everyone else, so one of them is a serial killer. And typically when she kills people, they stay dead. And it's very creative how she does it sometimes. So if you don't mind a little bit of a darker show with really great witty comedy, Killing Eve is it.
Okay, so the thing that Killing Eve characters, professional wrestlers, and comic book characters all have in common is that they are never truly gone. That's what I'm getting from this.
Absolutely. That checks out.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, we're going to wrap this week up, as we always do, by looking for the helpers, which is a Mr. Rogers quote, if you missed last week. This is the part where Bree and I talk about things we've seen lately that made us feel all warm and fuzzy inside, because it's what we all need right now, for sure. Once again, before we get started, I'd like to ask all of you listeners out there to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about on the podcast, maybe even write about in the paper, put online, anything like that. Any good news, we really, 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 really want it right now. And we want to push it out there to everybody. This is just one way in which we're doing that. So if you know of anything good, please holler at your boy or your girl ASAP. How about you go first, Bree? What put a smile on your face this week?
Okay. So for me, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it brings me a lot of hope and it makes me so proud of our community. But on the other hand, it's also a little sad. So I don't know if any of you guys follow IGers Plant City on Instagram. If you don't, you need to. It is the Instagram account that sums up Plant City better than anyone I think is out there, honestly. And so IGers Plant City shared a story of, I think they've done two so far, two different local nurses that have gone to New York to help combat, you know, the spread of COVID-19, and New York is where COVID has really struck our nation the hardest. And one of them, they did an in-depth story, if you will, and they shared the story of a woman named Maggie, I think it's pronounced Hen.
Hen, yes.
Yeah, so this is a little bit of what they posted. It was from her point of view, and it says, "As I rush around my strictly COVID unit, half terrified of what I'm being exposed to and half terrified someone has their oxygen off, gasping for air in their bed, then a decision will need to be made based on resources. I'm realizing most horrific part of this is I'm actually adjusting to that being the norm, adjusting because it's a necessity for my emotional health. This is by far the hardest assignment I've ever taken." And then it goes on and, you know, it continues. "Our nurses here, they don't have to go. That's not mandatory, but they're stepping up and they're saying, there's a need, I have the skills to help it, and I'm gonna go." And Maggie is posting on her Instagram about her experience too pretty frequently, and they tag her in it if you go on IG or so. If you wanna just kind of really restore your faith in humanity, someone that volunteers to step up and do that, there's no better example of the spirit of resilience and hope than that. And so give IGers a follow, give Maggie a follow, and check that out.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Aviva Baker, a teacher at Jackson Elementary School. I can't imagine what it must be like to be an educator right now, since everybody's been forced to go online. They're all figuring this out as they go, between the teachers, parents, students, all that stuff. Everything I've heard is just like Edsby's going haywire, Clever's going haywire, stuff doesn't always work. And nobody could have prepared for this. So Aviva is awesome because, as you know, if you follow Hillsborough County Public Schools on Twitter, you've seen her lately. That's how I found out she recently took the time to write and mail personalized postcards to all of her students just to brighten their days. I think it's great for kids to have something nice and personal for them from their teacher at a time like this when everything's weird and we're all just trying to adapt to it. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was awesome. So shout out to Aviva. On that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Keep your eyes and ears open for next Friday's podcast, because we are going to have our very first special guest on the show. Coming to us from the comfort of her own home is Geralyn Rumbarger with Plant City Main Street. Geralyn's going to talk to us about what Main Street is up to lately and how local merchants have been adapting during this pandemic and how they're trying their best to get through it. So, with that said, we'll catch you on the flip side, Plant City.